did I go wrong? When without a fight, I kind of given up on you. I felt it was a thing to do. Where did I go wrong? Trying
Hey, it's supposed to be an instrumental. Oh boy, time to wrap up. We just finished with the late, great Funkadelic guitarist Eddie Hazel from his 1977 solo record Games, Dames, and Guitar Things. The track was called Frantic Moment. Mika Venio, prior to that, Cranes, is track two from his new one, Kilo. Pod Blots being the visual artist Susie Poling on a split LP with Irene Moon's Auk Theater Project. We heard excerpt from a piece called Names Falling from Stars. We heard soundtrack music from the film Vampire from Steve Severin. Two tracks, Alan's Theme and Upon My Death. A bunch of whispered conversations from reality TV outtakes, I think. I like people whispering. And we had this week's edition of Suicidal Summer, where WFMU staff member covers the Suicidal Tendencies classic Institutionalized. This time, the inflatable squirrel carcass is Rich Hazelton. Mekons, prior to that, from their self-titled debut 1980, Institution. Nine Circles before that, What's There Left? And we open the set with music from Julian Williams, Blown Into Town, Foreign Film, the name of his solo CD. Time to go. Do stay tuned. Andrea Salenzi filling in for Too Much Information tonight. This is Freeform Radio, WFMU in East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, WNYX Montgomery and Rockland County, 91.9 FM, and worldwide online, WFMU.org. Bye-bye. See you next week.
Coming up on the show, a look at the trials, tribulations, unwitting self-discovery, and unshakable shame behind online dating. I'll be joined by Kira Attuck, the author of Modern Dating, a Field Guide. She's test-driven all the niche dating websites, from JDate to FarmersOnly.com. Plus, my grandma Phyllis tells the story of the time she met a dude online, and we'll hear your questions. Start posting them now at WFMU.org and stay with us.
My heart is beating, beating like 8 o'clock. My heart is beating, you can hear it talk. Beep, 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 beep. My heart goes beep, beep, beep. Beep, 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 beep. My heart goes beep, beep, beep. You can answer my thoughts. My heart beats a little faster. True love.
This is too much information on WFMU. Benjamin Walker is off eloping in France, but when he returns, you can join us for a live episode of TMI on Monday, August 26th at McNally Jackson Books. More information up on the TMI playlist page. And that is also where I'm collecting your questions for our guest today. That's Kira Attic, the author of Modern Dating, A Field Guide. She's heard them all, so don't be shy. From first date ideas to texting etiquette to why, oh why, didn't he call? She's here to help. But first, a story. Believe it or not, my own grandma Phyllis found love using an online dating website called classifieds2000.com. That was back in 1998, before the new millennium, when the number 2000 was very sexy. Here she is.
It happened in a kind of a strange way. My friend Rhoda had, who was a fellow widow. That doesn't sound right, but that was it. I met her in a bereavement group after Gil died and her husband died. We became good friends. We traveled around the world, and we did a lot of interesting things together because we decided we were just not going to cover ourselves with ashes. And one Thanksgiving, I was at her house. We did Thanksgiving dinner, and after dinner, she made me go upstairs and look at something on her computer, and it was a dating service called Classifieds 2000. And she made me sit down and read ads from senior singles, and they were quite hysterical. The women were utterly gorgeous, brilliant, talented, slim. Like long walks on moonlit beaches and all that kind of nonsense. And the men were all suave, debonair, handsome, brilliant, could drive at night, all these wonderful things. And I laughed a lot and said, this is not going to happen. But she pointed out that they said I could put a free ad in for a week. So what the heck? And she made me sit there and type something out on the spot. And I remembered writing, 65-ish, plumpish, Jewish. When I got back into the city the next weekend after Thanksgiving, there were people who answered my ad, which was quite astonishing. And some were appropriate, some were not. I told one person that I didn't date people younger than my own children. But about a week later, after I was corresponding with one man who turned out to be a hunter and a gun collector, which was quite offensive to me, so I stopped that one, Saul signed on, sent me a message, and told me that he was a native New Yorker, but currently living in New Jersey, had just moved there after a divorce. Would he do? We started a correspondence. He wanted to talk to me. So I thought he sounded legit. So I sent him my telephone number. He sent me his number and asked if I was interested, would I call him? And I did. So then we talked on the phone for a bit, and we set up our first date for December 15th of 1998. And there was an instant recognition factor for me. I figured out later on that he looked a little bit like my father. Let's not get too psychological about this. And we spent a lovely day together. I brought him up to visit with my gay friends because I was so nervous about this. I needed like a second opinion. And they all gave me the thumbs up. And I had set it up that the truth being, I was meeting my daughter for the opera that night, and it was an early curtain. And depending on whether I liked this guy or not, I might have had to meet Sheila for shopping and dinner before the curtain, or any combination thereof. As it turns out, I barely made it to the curtain that night. We just had a lot in common, and we said goodbye, and off he went, and I went to hear my music. Left for California the next day. When I came back in January, a huge bouquet of flowers arrived with a lovely note from him, and of course that had to be answered. And that was the beginning of a romance. And over those early years, he was the one who took care of me, because I had some serious problems then, and he had this heart thing. Now, I survived and he didn't.
This is Too Much Information on WFMU. I'm Andrea Salenzi, filling in for Benjamin Walker. That was my grandma Phyllis telling the story of how she met my grandpa Saul online before most people were doing online dating in 1998. Today on the show, we're discussing online dating, and joining me now is Kira Attic, the author of Modern Dating, a field guide from the folks at How About We. You know their website, it's at howaboutwe.com. Welcome to the show. Are you there? Kira? Okay, I'm going to press some more buttons and see if I can make some magic happen. In the meantime, some music for you. All right. Are you there, Kira?
I'm here. Hi. Sorry about that.
No problem. It's just funny how we have to set this up every time, but it's no problem at all. Did you hear some of my grandma's story?
I heard the first part, and I sort of got disconnected at a cliffhanger part where she was about to give the guy a call or call someone back, and then it cut off, so I don't know what happened.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, basically, they went on to fall in love and be married, and it was really an incredible thing in her life to have one great marriage and then a second great marriage. And for her to do online dating in 1998 was incredible.
Yeah, those are really the early days of it. That's really cool.
It's changed so much. There are a ton of different dating websites out there right now, and you've been a writer for howaboutwe.com for a while. What's the basic makeup of How About We? How does that site work?
So How About We is a site that believes that you should go online to get offline, basically. So the premise of the site is that you propose a date, which is an activity that you like doing, a hobby, a concert that you want to go to, a movie you want to see, something that's really active and participatory. You put up your date on the site, how about we go see the new Woody Allen film and then get drinks afterwards. And then people will respond to you based on that particular date. And your own feed will be comprised of dates that other people suggest. So it's really more about finding people who like to do what you want to do and having fun with somebody rather than trying to sort of portray yourself based on I don't know, adverbs, or I like long walks on the beach and I'm a Capricorn, some of that more outmoded dating style.
Something I find so interesting is that there's a new trend, which is the errand date that started to emerge
yes.
through the site. What kind of errands are people dating on?
It's really funny. I was shocked when I first heard this, but a popular one is shopping. Shopping for something in particular, like one that I've seen is I need to buy, like a guy will post, I need to buy a new pair of shoes. And they want, like, help picking out something cool. And they'll post that on the site. And then the right girl will be like, yeah, that sounds fun. I think it'd be cool to shop for, like, sneakers or whatever for a guy. I think shopping is, like, the easiest errand dating. But another one that I've heard of is sort of DIY-type stuff. I need to paint a room in my apartment. I mean, it sounds a little bit like errands or Craigslist, but usually they're put in a way that like makes it fun.
Yeah. Do you have a car? Let's go to IKEA.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that would be my response, but people actually do it.
Wow. I think that's a really, like, I feel like in New York we're so like weighed down by convenience. It seems like it's a really practical way to do dating.
Yeah, and I think what people think sometimes is, like, I'm a busy person. How can I fit my dating life into my super busy schedule? Why not kill two birds with one stone and make a date out of something that I was going to do on my Saturday anyway?
Well, I'm single myself, and the day that I feel the most lonely is on Saturday, because Saturday you're walking around the neighborhood, you grab coffee, and you just see couples. Everyone is so euphoric on a Saturday.
Especially in the summer, I feel like couples just come out of the woodwork in the city, and it just, everything looks so romantic, and especially when you're single, I think things look extra romantic when you're on the outside looking in. But I mean, honestly, that's why I'm a big advocate of online dating, because even while you're single, even if you're not in the throes of a great love affair, you can still, there's nothing to say that you can't be one of those twosomes that's out enjoying the city, enjoying the day. I think it's a mistake to think of dating as so connected to like a big love story. Sometimes you just want someone to go to the Rain Room with, or to walk around Brooklyn Bridge Park, or get an ice cream cone. And how about we, as well as other dating sites, I mean, any dating site or any way that you can approach someone and suggest a date or an activity like this, I think is a great way to spend your summer, to spend your time.
You make dating sound fun. Like, what do people have against dating? Why is dating like started to accumulate all this stigma of being a painful thing where you're going to have to make a break in the bathroom about halfway through? Like, when did these bad associations start?
I think it definitely does have that reputation, and I think it's mostly two things. First of all, the stakes are really high for people. Especially in the city, I think women who are still pretty young, this panic starts to set in about being single and how they absolutely can't be single and how they have to find a relationship or find a boyfriend. So then that takes a first date from being a nice experience of getting to know someone that you might have something in common with and turns it into, is this going to be my next boyfriend? Does he meet all the qualifications that I have set for him? When you're looking for something serious straight off the bat, it just puts undue pressure, and then it stops being fun. It stops being fun as soon as it falls short of that super high expectation that you go into it with. And another reason I think dating sort of gets a bad rap is that for so long, dating meant dinner and a movie or meet up for drinks. And when you meet up for drinks, especially if it's somebody that you're meeting online, so you've never met them before, it can so easily take on this like interview-like scenario where you're just sitting across a bar stool from someone, like asking each other the same questions that you don't really care about the answer, like what do you do? Where did you go to college? How many siblings do you have? Where did you grow up? And that sort of thing is awkward. People feel pressure. People get nervous. And that's just not fun. I think a way to inject fun back into your dating life is to choose activities and dates that you'd want to do anyway. You'd want to do them by yourself. You'd want to do them with your friends. So why not do something fun and see if you can, why not do something fun and then see if you hit it off with somebody? And then the other thing is to just take some of the pressure off of yourself and off of the date. Not every date has to lead to a serious relationship. Not every date is even going to be like a success in terms of romance, but if you think of it as an opportunity to meet somebody else, get to know someone else, and maybe a worst-case scenario, get a great story out of it if it turns out to be catastrophic, I think that really will lighten the load in terms of dating.
Yeah, I really found that refreshing. You're the author of Modern Dating, a field guide from the folks at How About We, and the first chapter is like, it's not so bad to be single. It's kind of like a fun
thing. Yeah, definitely not.
Over on the WFMU playlist page at WFMU.org, Greg writes, number one rule of dating, do not, under any circumstances, live in New Jersey. Agree?
Oh, no.
I know. Do you agree or do you disagree?
I, within the last 12 months, have dated someone in New Jersey. I'm living proof that that rule can be broken.
So it's so you would encourage someone to date someone in New Jersey if
I mean, why not? I think geography definitely does play into dating, and New Yorkers especially are never very eager to date outside of their borough. But I don't know. I think that's silly. People live in different places for different reasons, and as long as it's not too annoying in terms of commute, why limit yourself to where a potential date or love interest might be?
So would you date someone?
Yeah, I mean,
what about Connecticut?
I'm
what
sorry,
about
go
Staten
ahead.
Island? Like, where do we make the limit here? How far away is okay if you live in New York?
It really depends on the person, I think. I mean, let's see. I don't know. I know it so depends on the place and the lifestyle. Like, there are times where I don't even feel like going 2 stops into Brooklyn. And if you're one of those people, I mean, I live in Manhattan. And if you're one of those people, then obviously you're going to need to, you know, date a little bit closer to home. But if you meet somebody really, really great, that you really connect with, then the fact that you have to get on a ferry to go see them, I don't think should be a deal breaker, personally.
No, that's great. So we're taking more questions like Greg's on the WFMU playlist page at WFMU.org, and you can also call in. We have Amadeo on the call screen button at 201-209-9368. And we'd love to hear your questions for our guest today. Let's get into the date itself. Should you always take the suggestion from the guy if he says, let's meet at this place? Should that always be what you go for? I mean, How About We? It's going to be a different formula. But should you push someone to be at a space that you're comfortable with, or should you kind of go with the flow?
Oh, absolutely. If it's a matter of I'm comfortable in this place, I'm not comfortable here, then absolutely. I think that you're not going to have a good time if you're feeling weird. If he, like, for instance, bringing it back to would you date someone from Staten Island, if you meet someone online and you live in Manhattan or you live in Brooklyn and he suggests Staten Island as your first date, and you don't know who this guy is, you're not totally comfortable trekking out there by yourself, then totally suggest something you feel more comfortable with. Never, ever meet anyone from the internet in a private place for your first date. And in terms of who plans the date, I don't know. I think it can be a little bit of a give and take. But if he plans something that just sounds awful to you, that you don't think that you'd have a good time on at all, then might as well speak up, because not only will you not have a good time on the first date, it's also indicative of what sorts of things you each like to do. I definitely don't think that the guy necessarily has to do all the planning. I think it really can be a mix or a trade-off.
And your work as a dating blogger for the past 3 years, you talked about going to a Starbucks. And how that's like the worst date location there you can pick.
Yeah, I mean, the Starbucks is a pretty bad one. I feel like Starbucks is good for, like, an interview or if you're doing an informational meeting with somebody. It's not romantic. I think for the most part, chains of any sort probably aren't that good. You want to do something a little more memorable, a little more special, something to make you stand out. You don't want to choose any place that's too crowded or too loud so that you can't hear each other speak, because that's really unromantic. You also don't want to choose someplace too quiet where you feel awkward being there with this person. Sometimes I watch those, like, I remember seeing an episode of Millionaire Matchmaker where their first date, he, like, rented out the public library in New York, which, like, should be really romantic and sweet, I guess, but it just seems super, super, super awkward because they're just, like, sitting at a table in this cavernous, silent space, and you don't really know someone that well yet to do that. So, yeah, pick something fun and pretty lighthearted. I wouldn't go too romantic on the first date either.
Great. We have a call on line one. Welcome to the show, Dana.
Hi. My question was, I'm not shy. I don't really have a problem asking guys out on dates. It does get awkward, though, when it's time to pay. Do you assume that the guy is going to pay because that's the way it is, or I assume that I'm going to pay because I invited him out on a date? It just gets awkward when the check comes.
So what are the basic rules for who should pay?
I mean, I think you're totally right, Dana. I think that, for better or for worse, a lot of guys do still sort of think, on the first date, I should pay because I'm the guy. And depending on how comfortable you are with letting them pay, that's perfectly fine. If not, you can suggest splitting it. But a go-to rule, if you're not sure, I do think that the person who asks the person out should always volunteer to pay, or be prepared to pay anyway. When it comes to paying the bill on the first date, don't squabble too much. If you can offer to pick up the bill, and if he's like, no, I got it, then that's fine. Then you can let him pay, and you can get the second date, or you can get the second round, or you can get dessert after dinner, or whatever. I think the important thing is to just not, like, fight about it too much. And if he doesn't offer to pay, then it's your turn to foot the bill, I guess, because you asked, but I would definitely take that as a warning sign, because I think you want to be with somebody who will at least offer, if not to pay for the whole thing, then to split it, because when you're dating someone, you do want to share the financial responsibility.
Right. Great advice. Thank you.
Great. Thanks for calling,
Dana.
Yeah,
good luck.
I had a situation where I went on an interdict date with a lawyer, and he insisted on paying for everything all the time, like down to even like paying to rent a city bike for my friend who was going on a bike ride with us. And it felt like it was so obviously like, I know you work for a nonprofit, like, and I don't. And it felt like almost flaunty to me. So I am someone who likes to have a balance with everyone in my life, like friends, family. If you give me something, I'm going to give you something back. Secretly, at some point, I've slip $20 into guys' wallets when they're not looking. Like, I just want to be at balance with the universe. So with this guy, I ended up giving him a coffee grinder because he needed a coffee grinder. And I gave him my sunglasses because he liked my sunglasses. Like, he just wouldn't take a single dollar from me. So at some point, it can get, like, disruptive, right, if you're so flaunty about this.
Absolutely, and I actually think that that's a pretty elegant solution that you found, to sort of give him something. I mean, I think it's a little gross to be so adamant about insisting on paying for things, because ultimately you're not dating someone so that they can pay for everything. You're dating someone because you love them and they love you, or they like you, or whatever. I think it's important to sort of find a way to balance financial responsibility within the relationship so that it's proportionate to each person's income level. If he makes a huge salary, then maybe it makes sense for him to pay for the fancy dinners, but that doesn't mean that you can't afford to buy the movie tickets if you go see a movie, or if you get breakfast the next morning or whatever. And I think it is important to state that, just to establish that you want to and expect to contribute to this as well. You're not just looking for a free ride, and you want to take care of him and treat him just in the same way that he wants to treat you every now and then. And a move that I wrote about in the book, which is really cool, I think, is to get up in the middle of dinner and secretly hand the waiter your credit card. This really only works once. You can't really do it multiple times, so that when the bill comes, you've already taken care of, and you've just paid without going through the whole, I've got this, no, let me get it, fight, basically.
Yeah, right on. But at the same time, it's like if you make too big of a deal out of it, it can get even weirder, too. So who knows?
Yeah, you really don't want to, like, fight about, I mean, as much as you can, you don't want to fight about who pays, whether it's let me pay or whatever. It's unsexy to do that. It's annoying.
Mm-hmm. Again, we're taking calls at 201-209-9368 and also over on the WFMU playlist page. We're having a great conversation there right now about dating in New Jersey. So join in. Joining us on line one is Jim. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Andrea. It's Jim the Poet calling.
Oh, hey.
Hello.
What's up?
I'm enjoying the show. I'm a huge fan of the show. I thought last week's show was unbelievable. I thought your grandmother is incredible. Maybe you could have her on every week. That would be amazing.
Thanks.
I'm also a fan of your guest. She's a great writer and a great blogger. I just think this is really a terrific radio show. And I'm very grateful for it, and I'm a huge fan.
Thank you, Jim.
Oh, this is really nice of you. Jim helped me to name the show.
I kind of wanted to ask you on a date. I sort of was hoping that you might go out with me.
I don't know if that's a good. Let's get the dating expert involved.
You know, I mean, I'm sort of crazy and a poet.
Right, he's crazy and he's a poet.
Crazy and a poet.
And how old are you?
I am 40. That may not be age appropriate.
Right.
I don't know what your age is.
Oh, guess.
I think maybe you're 28.
I'm 28.
Is that real? Really?
Yeah, I'm 28.
Okay, so I don't know. I mean, I'm a little, you know, outside of your wheelhouse, maybe.
Ooh.
Maybe it's a stretch for me. But I just think you're great, and I've liked you from the moment I met you.
And then
I tried to make up little excuses for you to, like, train me in the studio. And then, you know.
That was an excuse?
Well, it wasn't. I actually needed training, and I was like, "Well, who would I like to have train me? Maybe Andrea. Andrea, she's great."
That's how. That's why you already knew what buttons to press. You were like,
"I kind of knew the whole thing." But it was great hanging out with you. I mean, it was great getting a chance to see you and stuff like that.
Kara, how old is too old? If I'm 28,
I think that is actually within the age.
Oh,
there's a specific age formula, which I always forget. It's in the book. I'm looking it up right now. But I think that 40 is within the range.
I mean, it sounds like I'm like 40 and a half. So is that still okay?
I think that's within the range, I gotta say. Yeah.
What about, like, we have mutual friends and...
Well, like one maybe mutual friend.
Yeah. Does that make it different?
Okay, so
well, I asked him already.
I mean, here's
what I think.
I write in the book about the one date rule, which is basically if anybody works up the courage or has the gumption to put themselves out there because they still want to go grab a drink of coffee with you or a drink or whatever, then you might as well give them the, you know, half an hour of your time and see where it goes. So I say, basically, unless they're a serial killer, and I don't think Jim's a serial killer.
I don't think I am.
Everybody deserves a shot. Everybody deserves one date.
Is that true?
That's my professional opinion.
Really?
Yeah, that's true. It's in the book, yeah.
It's in the book. I'm going to buy this book, because I'm going to show this book to almost everyone I meet now.
Yeah, it's the one date rule. It's on page 47.
Well, I listened to last week's show, and I was listening to the guy about all the levels and stuff like that. I didn't want to ask you out like on an elevator.
Yeah.
And I know that radio, you must feel a little trapped, and it must feel a little nuts, too.
Well, Jim, if we did this, could I record it? Is that terrible?
Definitely. No, what are you talking about? Of course.
Okay, maybe
whatever it takes.
Really?
I'm prepared to pay the price.
You would wear a microphone for our whole date?
I would, yes. Of course. What are you talking about?
Knowing
you're
that
terrific.
I have hesitations.
Why wouldn't I wear a microphone
okay.
for you?
All right, it's on. We'll do it. This
Yay!
Will be great. So next week's show is my date with Jim the Poet.
This is amazing.
Well, I wrote a poem. Do you want to hear the poem?
Yes, of
okay,
course.
Well, it's a haiku.
Okay.
Andrea, you are awesome on the radio and everywhere else.
How do you know? How do you know that?
Well, I've heard from people.
Who?
That's the word on the street.
Okay. Oh,
well, no,
I'm
that,
embarrassed.
What are you talking about? You're great.
I'm embarrassed.
Why are you? okay, now I blew it with my poem again.
Oh. No, it's good. It's good. I'm looking forward to this, Jim. I'm just bright red right now, and I just need to.
I'm not trying to. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to embarrass you and stuff like that, but I don't know. I think you're amazing.
I like your shoes.
Oh, thank you very much.
Okay, well, we'll talk more. Kira, what's the next step here? He'll probably email me?
He should email you. He should propose a kick-ass date, especially for putting you through this on live podcast.
Kick-ass
and
date.
Think of something really, really cool.
Cool.
And, yeah, I'm excited to listen to it next week.
I have a million cool ideas, I promise, and I'll come up with something.
I'm sure you do.
That won't sound horrible.
Just whatever you do, don't rent the entire New York Public Library. I hear that's a really bad date idea.
I don't think I can do that.
Also, I veto Starbucks.
Okay. No, that sounds fine.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you, Andrea.
Talk soon. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, dear. Oh, man.
Wow. That was intense. That was really cool. But meanwhile, I figured out what the oldest age you should date is.
What is that? What is the formula?
Okay, because the formula is you take your age to find out the oldest you can date. You take your current age, you subtract 7, and you multiply it by 2. So the oldest you can date is 42.
Great. Good. We're golden.
Yeah, you're set.
but here's the thing that I didn't really tell Jim is, well, what do you think about this? I'm kind of dating someone else right now. But it's just in the dating stage. So, like, I feel like in New York, the rule is that you're good as long as you're in the dating stage and you don't tell the others about it.
Yeah, until you've had a conversation about being monogamous, you're golden. You're fine. And this is another thing that I tell people, I tell everyone, never assume in the early stages of dating that you are monogamous until you've had that conversation, because I think that gets a lot of people in trouble.
Well, that was actually a shocker to me when I moved to Brooklyn from Kansas City, is like before people were more, you know, you're more monogamous right from the start. And I started dating someone and I left a sweater at his place. And when I was over there, I said, hey, where do you think I could find my sweater? And he was like, oh, it's over by the laundry hamper. So I went over the laundry hamper, and there was like a pile of women's clothes next to the hamper. So
my God.
I know. There was my sweater, and there was a pair of tights, and then there was like a really large pair of underwear, and it was all kind of piled up right there. And I was like, oh, you're seeing lots of other people right now who need to get their sweaters.
Oh, my God. That's a rough way to find out.
Right, but you should just assume, no matter who you're dating, no matter what's been said
Definitely.
Or not said.
Definitely. And if you're wrong, then whatever. Then they were being monogamous the whole time. Better for you. But, yeah.
Has that been weird for you, like, as a dating writer? It's part of your job to go on dates in a lot of ways. And what if someone got serious? Like, do you have to give a disclaimer when you go on a date?
You know, I never really write about my own dating life. I mean, I certainly draw from it and write about it in an abstract way. And if something's like a little bit in the past, a little bit more removed, then sometimes I'll talk about it. But I've never really chronicled my own life, and I think that that's given me a little more freedom. But I mean, it definitely makes dating weird. It's like you sort of hope that people don't Google you, and then there's the inevitable. Whenever you're on a date, people are like, guys are always like, so are you going to write about this, or am I going to make the blog?
And you're like, you wish.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Exactly.
But how do you, so wait, are there, so there's almost like different kinds of dates that you're going on. Cause you went on an experiment, you went through all the different niche dating websites from JDate to Christian Mingle. Tell us about that process and how it worked.
Yeah, so that was for an article that I was writing that eventually I just quit. Like, I never even, I, like, emailed the editor, and I was like, I can't do this because it was taking such a toll on my sanity, on my personal life. The article that was pitched to me was to do 30 dating sites in 30 days, which is, like, would basically be a full-time job. Not only do you have to set up 30 wildly different dating profiles, then to even set up dates means messaging a lot of people and basically always being on the computer. It was really interesting going through all those sites. I told myself that I would never lie on them. I mean, it's obviously stunt journalism, but I told myself that it was less stunty if I was just as honest as I could be within the confines of the site. So when I was on farmersonly.com, for instance, I didn't say that I was a farmer. I just said, well, I live in the city and I'm interested in knowing more about country life or something like that. And throughout all the sites that I tried, like ourtime.com, which is a site for older dating, like 50 plus dating.
You did Our Time. I've seen those commercials. You did that site?
Yeah, I did that site. And again, like, nobody seemed to care that I was 26. So that was kind of gross. If you're on that site, you're supposedly trying to date someone your age. But
who was the guy? Yeah, where was the date? How did that go down?
That was one of the ones that was, like, right before I quit, when I was like, I can't do this. I think that the sites that really were my breaking points were sugarbaby.com. I felt like
that's the site
for sugar daddies.
Oh, my God.
Like, I don't know, like, young girl looking for a rich older guy. That one I just felt, like, so grossed out. And then the other one, I was just too creeped out to go through with, and that was really when I was like, I can't do this, is Pounce.com. Which is a site for furries.
Oh, my God.
It's like, I can't. I don't care. I don't care if it's in the name of journalism. I can't do it.
But the Ayn Rand site, that one was cool.
Yeah, that particular date was amazing. I was dreading that one. I also, like, not only am I not of the Ayn Rand political persuasion, but I also have never even really, like, read her book, so I'm not even, like, I can't even talk about it, really. I was just totally unprepared for the date, so I was dreading it, but then the guy turned out to be super cute and super nice, and we got along really, really, really well, except he sort of, towards the end of the date, like, after we had been there for 2 hours and talked about everything from movies to TV to our families to travel, he kept sort of trying to bring up politics, and he just kept trying to skirt away from the issue, and then he'd bring up, like, a, you know, Atlas Shrugged or whatever, and I'd again just, like, avoid it, and he must have thought I was so weird for, like, going on this date with him and then doing everything in my power to not talk about the one thing that we supposedly had in common.
Wow. Too bad.
Yeah, too bad, of course. Like, he was probably the cutest guy I've gone out with in the past 12 months. And, of course, it didn't work out. So, yeah.
Well, something I've been thinking a lot about is, like, the spark. Like, everyone says, like, you either know it or you don't, and you know in, like, the first 30 seconds, and people can get really caught up in that. Like, what is the spark? How do you know if it's there or not? And before you even, you know, sign up for the coffee date. Do you believe in the spark?
I mean, it's one of those things where I believe that there can be a spark, but then I don't really give the spark too much credence if you claim to not feel one. I know that there are dates and there are moments where you see someone and you lock eyes with them, and in the first 5 minutes, there's this instant attraction, this instant energy between two people. But I don't think that that's something that has to be there right from the get-go in order for a relationship to be successful. I know so many women who have gone out with people sort of against, I don't know, gone out with people that they wouldn't have really wanted to go out with that they sort of had to talk themselves into going out with, and then eventually falling head over heels for them. So I really think that that attraction is something, especially for women, that, that can grow after a few dates.
I'm speaking with Kira Adak, the author of Modern Dating, a field guide from the folks at How About We. And we're taking your questions at 201-209-9368. Believe it or not, I was recently at a bar. I recorded myself at a bar the other night, and I met these guys who asked me, like, as a flirt, what my OkCupid username was.
Oh, wow.
And then I told them, and they insulted it. They did not approve of the name.
What is your OkCupid username?
I'm afraid to say it on the radio, but let's just play it. Maybe I'll tell you. I got to think about this. Okay, here's the clip.
You know Astoria?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he has a building in Astoria where he's like
sells. My roommate's new boyfriend lives in Astoria, and like bus ride to Astoria is like, yeah. She met him on OkCupid.
Yeah. We're just talking about that.
Really? Are you guys on there?
He is. Yeah. He has the most unattractive pictures of himself on there, too. It's really funny.
That's horrible.
It's like just his beard. That's the picture.
I don't know anybody.
I would say if it's just beard, I'm not going to okay it, whatever. If I get a message from, like, too much beard, I'll usually say no. Yeah.
There it is.
What's your username
about
there?
It's... you
want to
send
me a... Yo, girl, what's your username?
it's that... you.
Not that funny.
Oh my god.
So if you ever want to have a really interesting self-discovery moment, record yourself at a bar and hear your drunk giggle. It's the worst.
Oh my gosh.
I think my laugh was like I like went super high pitched because I was so uncomfortable because I knew I was kind of baiting these guys and they were kind of awful. Yo girl,
well, I think
what's
they were totally
username?
Nagging you when they responded to your handle.
Yeah, what's nagging?
Nagging is from The Game, which is the pickup book that is like a Bible for 20-something guys, and even if they claim not to have read it, they've often read it. But nagging is where you sort of, like, insult a girl as a flirting technique, is really, really a stand-up move by guys. Where, I don't know, I guess to sort of lower her self-esteem a little bit or make her feel bad about herself so that then your attention will flatter her more so then you can, like, bring her up. I don't know.
Wow. Do you recommend nagging? Can nagging ever work? Like, have you ever seen it be effective?
Have I seen it? You know, I can't actually think of a time that I've witnessed it be effective. I've definitely witnessed it be employed. I'm sure it can work. I'm positive. That doesn't mean that I would necessarily recommend it as a pickup technique or as a flirting technique to guys, because, like, so what? Just because it works in the moment, it doesn't necessarily seem like the basis for a fun and lasting relationship. But no, I actually haven't seen it work in real life that I can think of right now.
So I find I've been doing all these shows about dating technology, and I find that dates make the best, like, party fodder. Like, if you're at a party and you want something to talk about with people, I hear the best stories of parties about bad online dates. And I've heard a couple things. One, and I'm trying to figure out if they are urban legends or true, but one guy told me that on the night of Hurricane Sandy here in New York, that he had a ton of girls, like, say, come over, hang out with me tonight. And it's, like, this very primal thing where they kind of wanted someone there to protect them.
They wanted a hurricane boyfriend.
Was that a thing?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That was actually a big thing on How About We saw a ton of hurricane dates. It was, like, a word band-aid about, because there is something, and this is, you were saying earlier that you feel the most single on Saturdays. I feel the most single during national weather advisories. Because I feel like everybody who's, like, in a relationship or hooking up with somebody, it's like the perfect excuse to hole up together, and it's romantic and it's cozy and you miss work and like there's, you know, there's no electricity. It's very, I guess just like I said, cozy. So when something like this happens, especially this year with Hurricane Sandy, and everybody had sort of been through a practice run with Hurricane Irene, I feel like people were just desperately looking out for somebody to spend the blackout with.
Wow.
And because you make it fun, you're like, I'll bring food, or here's some DVDs, and we'll have candles, and you just hunker down with someone.
Aww.
I know somebody who dated somebody for pretty much exclusively the duration of Hurricane Irene, and they broke up afterwards. But, like, they spent those entire, like, 48 hours together or whatever when the city was sort of on lockdown.
Oh, that's so incredible. But yeah, that does sound, like, hyper-romantic. Yeah, and everyone has their blackout story. Like, when the blackout happened, everyone has a romantic or debaucherous story from that night.
I feel like that's been my sort of saving grace for first date conversations for the past year, is whenever I date in New York, and whenever I've been on a date recently in New York where you sort of are looking for things to talk about when you first meet, the blackout is an easy thing that you know the other person will instantly relate to, and you can tell each other your stories, and then kind of a great icebreaker. I really like went through a period this year where every single date I talked about my blackout story.
Oh, it's incredible. Here's the other party lore that I heard was this guy told a story about a time he went to go meet a girl on a date, but he'd looked at his pictures, but he hadn't looked at her pictures that closely. And he sat down mm-hmm. next to a girl. He knew that she was wearing black, and he saw a really cute girl, but she was definitely wearing blue. So he went down the bar. He sat down next to the girl wearing black and just started talking to her. And they had a nice conversation. And then at one point she looked away from him and went back to her book and just started reading again. And he realized, oh, crap, I've been talking to the wrong girl this whole time. So he left the bar, went outside, texted the number and said, did I just do that? And she was like, yep. And then he said, And then he said, look, because she'd watched the whole thing. She'd watched everything.
Oh,
go
my
down.
God.
And then he said, how about we go to a bar down the street? And she said, okay, no problem. I'll meet you outside. So,
that's cute. That
I know.
Has a happy ending.
I know. But I bet people don't recognize each other all the time. That's got to be a common one.
Yeah. I haven't heard of a story that extreme. And I'm trying to think if in my personal experience I've ever had something like that. I'm always like a little bit nervous about recognizing guys because I actually don't really pay attention to the photo that much usually when I go on dates. Usually I just look for the person who's sort of like anxiously looking around looking for me, and it's worked out. But that's a funny story. That's definitely the most extreme I've heard.
I also heard a story at a party once about a guy who dated a girl who wanted to suck his blood. And there's no condom for that. Like, what do you do?
No, that's a thing. That's a new thing.
Really? Because of vampires?
No. I'm kidding. Okay. That's horrifying. And I hope to never experience that or encounter that.
My question for you is, like, what is a thing right now? Like, what are the, I guess on the dates you've been on and what you've observed through the site, like, what are the reoccurring moves and tactics that people have had?
One thing that I've noticed myself and that I've heard from my friends is that because everybody seems to be dating online these days, either a traditional dating site or Hinge or Tinder, one of those, it's easy to sort of launch into shop talk when you're on a date. It comes up naturally. What is one thing you know you have in common with someone you're on a first date with that you've met online dating? And you sort of, I don't know, find yourself, like, launching into stories, either horror stories or funny stories or whatever, about your online dating experiences. And it's funny, and you both have a lot to say about it, probably. The only thing that can get kind of annoying is that talking about other dates at a certain point kind of kills the mood for the date that you're supposed to be currently on, and it's easy to sort of veer into buddy territory instead of like romance territory when so early on you're talking about like what you liked or didn't like from a previous date. So shop talk is becoming more common just because it's more normal for people to have a ton of online dating experiences and stories, but it's definitely something to try to veer away from, at least in the early stages.
Hmm. That's a great tip. That's so good. I feel like I've gone to shop talk very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy. It's like you obviously have this in common. It's like it's what you're doing right now. It's easy to talk about.
I also want to kind of diagnose the people who have been doing a lot of online dating, because there's I don't know. I have a colleague who's been on 90 dates this year. And,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and he keeps a spreadsheet. We heard about Brett's story last week on the show. And of those 90 dates, I want to say only 5 have led to kissing or so. And most of them have been
5 have led to kissing.
If even.
And
yeah,
that's out of 90.
So I feel like it starts to weigh on you. You start to have this, like, you start to recognize the conventions and, like, and almost have a downer attitude, like, I know where this is going, I can tell. So I don't want to date someone who's soured by online dating. And I feel like when I've asked, it's been like, do you keep a spreadsheet? That's a question I've asked many times. It's like, I don't want to date someone who's been doing this too much. I want it to still feel like new and fresh and exciting. And like a quirk that we're doing online dating instead of real life. I want to know that he can do it in the real world, I guess. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think that there's something, I mean, it is an alarm bell. Honestly, somebody who's been on that many dates, 90 dates with no in 1 year sort of means that there probably wasn't a relationship at any point during that year. And that is a little bit of a warning sign. And I think even with yourself, when you are dating yourself, it's important to a certain extent to get out there, to meet a bunch of people, to try to date different people and get a sense of what you like. But once you get to a certain number, like, you're not going to learn anything more from dating 90 people than dating 12. And if you're going on that many dates and then you're interested in so few, you're not, I mean, at this point, it's like, you're not really learning anything new. You're maybe, I don't know, being picky or something. It just seems extraordinary that out of 90, so few would be worth kissing or following up with. And I think you can get into this pattern of just like continuously going on dates and waiting for this perfect person that might not appear.
So what's your advice? Maybe he needs to take a break from the site and reevaluate what he's doing wrong.
Well, there have been some interesting mathematical theories, actually, about how many people you need to date before you can sort of zero in on the right person. A recent study showed that you need to reject 30% of the potential dates, potential partners, before settling down on the right one, which means that if there are, like, 10 single guys in your area, you say no to 3 of them, and then you can, like, from the remaining 7, you're likely to find someone. Another theory is that after the average adult dates about 12 people, and this can be like one date or a short relationship or whatever, after 12, you know enough about yourself and what you're looking for in a partner to be able to make an informed decision. So after you get to that sort of amount of people and that experience, the next person who meets or exceeds the qualities that you're looking for in a partner, then you just sort of lock down that person. And you're not getting any more new information after that, basically. Once you've gotten to 12, you're informed enough to find the right person. And then after that, you're just really, like, squibbling. Once you find somebody who is good enough, basically, then you should date them for a while. Stay still for a while. Don't constantly look for the next person around the corner who might be a little bit better, because nobody's going to be that much better or worse than someone at this point, once you're dating 90 people.
Hmm. How do you know when it's time to go into a relationship? It's actually a question I've had for months now, is like, when do you say, how do you have the are we boyfriend girlfriend conversation, and how do you know it's time for that? And like, do people even say that out loud anymore? Like, how?
I think they definitely say that out loud, because
really?
Again, the monogamy, especially in big cities, I think is an important thing to discuss. So let's be boyfriend and girlfriend now basically just means like, let's be monogamous, let's not be other people. And I mean, I don't know, it's a difficult question to answer, but I think basically when you get to the point where the thought of spending your entire weekend with this one person is more appealing than the thought of like going out and meeting someone new or going on a date with somebody else, then that's a good indicator that it's time to try it out with that person a little more seriously.
Hmm. The scary part, though, is once you get in something like that, you're going to have to get out. get out. I mean, it's terrifying. Your advice for... what's your advice for, like, after that... Okay, so we went on the date. Maybe it didn't go so well. How do we end things? How do you let the person know that there's no... Yeah, how do you let them know that there's no second date?
Man, it's tough. It's tough. I have a really hard time actually executing this. I can talk a big game, but when I'm on the date, hard to do this. But you just say, thank you so much, I had a nice time. And that is all you say. You don't say, let's do this again sometime, or I'll call you, or anything. And if they say... I'd like to see you again, you just say, hey, you know what, I had a great time getting to know you, but I don't really see a future for us together.
Oh, that's perfect. Well, I wish I could have a second date with you. This was so much fun, and I have like a bazillion more questions for you. I appreciate everyone's comments on the comment board. You've been so helpful. Have a great, great rest of your night. And people can find your book. My guest today was Kira Attic, author of Modern Dating, a Field Guide from the folks at How About We. And it's ebook. It's in all the bookstores. It's everywhere, right?
Yep, exactly. Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and independent bookstores.
Great. And we can also follow you on Twitter at your name, Kira Attic.
Yes. And, yep.
Great. Exactly. Thanks again. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Have a nice night.
All right, that's the sound of Skype hanging up. Means we're at the end of the show. It's been fun. I'm so glad we did that. My name's Andrea Salenzi. It's been too much information. Again, Ben Walker is off eloping in Paris. I don't know if it's eloping, if, you know, he's had a series. They've been together since I've known him. But, anyways, you can catch us August 26th at McNally Jackson Books. We're doing a live Too Much Information that night. So you can congratulate him then. I'm on Twitter also at Andrea Salenzi. I'd love to hear what show ideas you have for the next 2 weeks. I'm going to be filling in for Ben next Monday and the Monday after that, looking for ideas. We heard music today from the Free Music Archive, including a track from Beaks and one from Poddington Bear. Send me your feedback also, andrea@freemusicarchive.org. And special thanks to Amadeo for call screening tonight. Stay tuned now for Nardwar, the Human Serviette radio show. And that's on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, WNYX Montgomery, online at WFMU.org, and in Rockland County at 91.9 FM. Thank you so much. Nardwar.
to me. I'm not alone. Oh, I really do not know what love has done to me. The stillness in my soul, it never used to be. I got no one to tell, but who would understand? I can see my love, I can see my love, I can see my
listening to WFMU, and it's time right now for the Nardwuar, the Human Serviette radio show. You just heard right there from 1966, The Insect from Australia with I Can See My Love. And today on the Nardwuar, the Human Serviette radio show, an interview with, from Perth, Australia, Tame Impala. Tame Impala, today on the Nardwuar, the Human Serviette radio show. Now, to prepare you for Tame Impala, gonna play something by Pond, containing members of Tame Impala. In fact, here's Pond doing a cover of Hey Joe by The Leaves on the Nardwuar, the Human Serviette radio show on WFMU.